Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt here to guide you through the wonderful world of TNA Impact. So I started doing the big plug and everything, and then my computer stopped recording. Tried it again. My computer messed up, so I'm trying this again for a third time. And you know what? Screw you. You're not getting a plug today. You know what you're getting? Go to ProWrestling.net, click on the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, check out the benefits of membership. I mean, they are numerous in their existence. You got reviews of every show, .net Weekly, listen to Chris Shore on Saturday if you want the full-on plug, but just go to ProWrestling.net, subscribe to the podcast, and sign up for membership, do all of that stuff that I know you've been thinking of doing for a really long time, but have been putting off. There's your dang plug. Let's talk about Impact. Good show. Good show straight out of London. They really have made the most of being in London. And tonight was weird because the show felt like a bit of an afterthought. Like, you kind of got the feeling that TNA wanted it to be the grand finale of London. But now we're just going, okay. And then they do Impact a couple times from the Impact Zone and they're in Chicago. So the on the road announcement kind of... It kind of halted their momentum a little bit as far as, you know, making this show feel big. But that's okay. They did some really good stuff on this show. The biggest thing I think they're doing right now is they're finding ways to rebuild the Aces and Eights. They've hurt this faction big time. This faction, well, I'd like to say it's been hurt. This faction's kind of been damaged since the get-go. But they've seemed to be, especially on this show, finding ways to rebuild it. You had, you know, them, the Aces and Eights winning a match at the end, getting some heat on them, doing some dastardly deeds to Hulk Hogan and Brooke Hogan. Hey, that's heat. That is, you know, that's going to get people a little bit afraid of the Aces and Eights. It's going to make them look a little crazy to most folk, and that's okay. Now, the odd thing is... And then you've got the kind of secondary thing that they did, and that was announce Bully Ray as the number one contender for the TNA World Championship to face Jeff Hardy in a cage at Lockdown. I know I'm expecting Bully Ray to be revealed as the Aces and Eights leader. I think a lot of people are expecting Bully Ray to be revealed as the Aces and Eights leader and turn on Hulk and Brooke and all that. So that'll put a lot of heat on them. You've already got them kind of doing their own dastardly deeds themselves. Hell, I say give them that win in Lethal Lockdown as well in that Sting team captain by Sting versus team captain by D-Von match. Boom. Suddenly you've got, you know, the Aces and Eights rolling as a faction like they haven't really for their entire existence, which is a good thing. That's something that I would really like to see. It's something that I'd really like to see TNA do is just get them rolling, get them established, get them set up as a big time faction, and then defeat them. Then they can start showing chinks in the armor and losing, but not till then. Actually set them up right. And I think then you've got your 1 year story. Slammiversary then could become, you know, you could have the Aces and Eights kind of Reign of Terror for a while. Slammiversary could become TNA's night, their kind of Starrcade 97 minus the suckitude that Starrcade 97 had. Is there a worse big show in wrestling history? Man. But let's get into this show. The show opened with Hulk Hogan coming out for the third time on this set of tapings. And I was surprised to see Hulk open the show that way. Mostly just because I thought that they had probably used up all the Hulk that they were going to use. But by gum, they haven't. And Hulk still got a big reaction. So he must be doing something right in that. People are still going, yeah, Hulk Hogan's coming out. I'm psyched about that. That is a development that I appreciate. At least in London, they do. So we got the Hulkster coming out and making his announcement of Bully Ray as the number one contender. That surprised me, for sure. Bully Ray came out and basically said, you know, but Hulk, I'm hurt. Hulk, I'm in pain. You know, I'm hurt. I'm this, I'm that. You know, thank you, but I'm kind of a I don't deserve it thing. He's trying to be humble. But then Ray kind of transitioned, you know, said, thank you for the match. I'm going to do my best. Then he transitioned to saying, they've got bigger fish to fry tonight. It's time to talk about the Aces and Eights. And Ray made a challenge for a 3-on-3 tag team match, basically saying, I'm going to grab my tag team partner, Sting, Aces and Eights, you bring three guys. And who else, and it, he kind of did a, who else could I go with? And the crowd's going crazy. Ray's looking at Hogan, and Ray's, you know, asking the crowd, who else can I go with? Who else? And then he turns around and does the big Hulk Hogan you point that Hulk used to do. And Hulk agreed. So they were promoting for this entire show. And at first, I got a little critical. You know, really, you have Hulk Hogan come back. You know, you're talking about Hulk Hogan making his in-ring return, and you don't promote it a week out. You say later in the show. But then when I saw what they did, I kind of understood what they did, what they were doing. And I respected it at least a little bit more. But, so we got the big six-man made for the night, three members of Aces and Eights. Again, they don't name them when they challenge them. It's just, I want any three members of that biker gang. God dang it. So it's three members of the Aces and Eights versus Ray, Sting, and Hogan. Cool. That's totally chill. We got a, you know, I thought that it was a big match to promote for the UK crowd. I figured we'd get some shenanigans. It seemed like it would be pretty cool. Then we got Bobby Roode and Austin Aries complaining about Hernandez and Chavo when bad influence, because Kazarian and Christopher Daniels walked in, and they said, both of them, you know, it was kind of the arrogant team meets the arrogant team. It was almost like a four-way. You know what Bobby Roode and Austin Aries are doing? The whole, like, well, I'm better. No, I'm better. No, I'll be world champion. It was like then a team came up and started doing that with Roode and Aries, and it got a little meta. But cool. Nice segment promoting an 8-man tag, which was our first match of the night. Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, Austin Aries, and Bobby Roode versus Chavo Guerrero, Hernandez, Joseph Park, and James Storm. I just want to say that again. Joseph Park. Apparently he politicked his way into this match brilliantly. And this match was basically kind of chaotic. It was all chaos. It was all kind of just fun. You could tell it was a way to get the stars on the show for the UK crowd. It was a way to keep them awake. And they were working at a pretty quick pace. It went 12 minutes and 18 seconds. There was a commercial in there, but they were working at a pretty quick pace. I think really just to keep people awake. You have to remember this was the second of two TV tapings over there. A TV taping is 90 minutes to 2 hours. You're going to start losing the crowd towards the start of the second taping. It's natural. And TNA did a nice job with a match like this to kind of keep the crowd in it. Finally, the finish came when Aries and Roode bailed on Daniels and Kazarian, possibly setting up a future tag team feud. Who knows what could happen? All the baby faces then hit finishers. You had Chavo, Hernandez, and James Storm all hitting their finishers. And then they all pointed at Joseph Park, who went up to the second rope, looked frightened and amazed at his ability, and hit the big splash on Kazarian to get the pin. Fun match. You know, it was just supposed to be fun. The Joseph Park stuff, I will say, Joseph Park wrestling is turning out better than I thought it would, because I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in Joseph Park wrestling, to be honest with you. I liked it better when he didn't know how to wrestle. I like that Joseph Park. But this was a fun match. If you missed Impact and you're listening to this hoping to find highlights of what you want to go back and watch on your DVR, it's skippable. But, you know, if you're into Joseph Park, fun. If you like Roode and Aries comedy or Bad Influence comedy, it's probably worth checking out. We got a recap video of Rockstar Spud winning British Boot Camp and then how he punched Robbie E in the face. The Robbies came out and then Spud came out and you got Robbie E versus Rockstar Spud. And a Rockstar Spud ended up winning this match with a wheelbarrow roll-up thing. It was kind of a sloppy roll-up, to be honest with you. But that's fine. Post-match, Robbie yelled at Robbie T and then slapped him in the face. Robbie T pulled off his shirt. Chris Shore put it really well. Said he became Rob Terry again instead of Robbie T and scared Robbie E from the ring. We've kind of been building towards this Robbie T turn. I just don't know that Rob Terry's good enough. I don't know that he's good enough to pull off a singles act. I think he's a great bodyguard. I'd be fine with him being a bodyguard for a long, long time. Real quick on Rockstar Spud. Robbie E's not the biggest dude, but Rockstar Spud looks tiny in there with Robbie E. He may be super talented and everything, but sometimes you do have to say, well, does he look like a wrestler? And I just don't feel like he looks very much like a wrestler. I'm sorry to say that. You know, Rockstar Spud may prove me wrong and turn out to be brilliant, but he is scrawny. Like, downright scrawny. Tara and Jesse were shown walking towards the ring. Then you had Velvet Sky, Gail Kim, Brooke Tessmacher, and Tara with Jesse coming out. Brooke Hogan then entered before the match could start, told referee Taryn Terrell, kick Jesse out of the ring, and they went to commercial right after these entrances. It seemed crafted like, hey, when we get back, more sexy ladies. That seemed to be what TNA was saying there. And this was a fatal four-way elimination match. It was a fatal four-way elimination match. I know I have words. And we saw Tara eliminated first. Velvet hit her finisher on Tara. Velvet Sky threw Tara, or threw Velvet Sky. Gail Kim threw Velvet Sky out of the ring. Tara then was pinned by Gail Kim. So we saw Tara eliminated first, and they did the whole, well, this guarantees us a new champion thing. And I always like that in a elimination match. I always like the, well, this guarantees a new champion feature that they do. Velvet Sky then got a really bad-looking roll-up to eliminate Brooke Tessmacher in 6:39, and I was pretty disappointed because I love Brooke Tessmacher more than I probably should. No. But I think she's very talented, and the TNA had something very special with her. In the middle of last year, they've kind of let it fade away, but she's still freaking fantastic. Then Velvet Sky ended up going at it with Gail Kim. Velvet hit her finisher on Kim to get the win. Velvet Sky wins the Knockouts Championship at 8 minutes and 33 seconds. They told the big comeback story, you know. Velvet was out of the company, and she said when she made her return, she would be Knockouts Champion, and now she is. Kind of, you know, the announcers did a really good job telling that story. I don't like the move with Velvet Sky getting the win. I think she showed in this match even. Velvet Sky's not super talented. Velvet Sky's not that good. Yes, she's attractive, but man, there's so much more than that to being a good women's wrestler. And Velvet Sky is kind of the least of the TNA women's division, like, as far as wrestling talent goes. And she's shown that it doesn't get much better. Her best matches still aren't good. So that's disappointing. I don't know that I like the move booking-wise. I don't know. This title change, I understand. I think they did title changes on these UK shows to give the fans something special, and also to make you at home feel like, yeah, it's not live, but you're watching history in the making with these title changes. I don't feel like a Knockouts title change really says that. I don't feel like a Knockouts title change says, oh, history was made tonight, because TNA has made so little of their Knockouts division. It's been a comedy division. And honestly, the Knockouts division, what it is, TNA Creative seems to get really excited about a female act, go all out, you know, give her the Knockouts title, make it a bit, you know, make a big deal of it, leave it on her for about 4 or 5 months, forget she has it, then get excited about another Knockout, move the title onto her, leave it on her for about 3 months, forget she has it. Like, the pattern is, Knockout stories start out really strong, and then they fade away as time goes on and TNA gets distracted by other things. And I worry about that with Velvet Sky as well. But I just don't really like Velvet that much as a wrestler, as an act. I don't think she adds much to the shows. I know a lot of guys out there will disagree with me, and that's fine. No, you can't disagree, damn it. I wasn't a big fan. Video recapped, and that was your top of the second hour matchy match. Video then recapped the main event being made with Sting and Hogan. And then Sting and Hogan were talking backstage. Hogan asked Sting, he's like, watch my back, you know, I haven't been out there in a long while, I need you, bro. Said something about Sting being the greatest wrestler of all time. I think that was there. It was somewhere on this show where I was like, Sting, man, he is a wrestler, and he wrestled for a long time. I don't know that I go greatest of all time. I don't even know if Sting lands in my top 100. I know ratings are like that and stuff are all subjective. I don't know that Sting lands in my top 100 wrestlers of all time. Name some great Sting matches. You've got your Ric Flair match. Yeah, that, I think that's it. His big WCW matches were more notable for underperforming or being out of shape than they were for actual great performances from Sting. He's iconic for sure. He's definitely, you know, if you talk about notable wrestlers, if you talk about wrestlers in major situations, hell, you know, you can even get into the bad way to evaluate art that most meta wrestling fans do and talk about drawing money. Sting's done that. Sting is not the greatest wrestler of all time. Also, drawing money is a stupid way to gauge art. Moving on. Hogan left. Ray walked in, and I basically said, it's my honor to team with you guys. I can't believe I'm going to get to do this. You know, Ray's the kid in the candy store here. God, I wish Bully Ray just... more just, I want to see him for a long time. I wish we could take the 10 middle years of his career. Like, let's go 2002 to, like, 2011. You know, he had done all of the best Dudley work in WWE already. Let him become Bully Ray then. Like, give me those years with the Bully, with this guy that's in shape and having good matches and cutting amazing promos. Oh, how I wish I could have that time back. Because now he's 40, and I like him. It's just that sad thing where he's 40, and, you know, hey, even if he has 10 more years, you could get 20 of great, you know, you could get 20 great years out of him. But let's just be grateful for the time we had. A video recap to Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff's impactful heel turn. And then we got a Samoa Joe coming out, and it was Garrett Bischoff versus Samoa Joe. Basically this was Samoa Joe beating up Garrett Bischoff. And he did the face wash. I haven't seen the face wash in a while. I love the face wash. I want to see more face washing. CM Punk, take up the face wash. Call Joe, say, hey, can I have your face wash? He's going to send you some Neutrogena and misunderstand it. But then you and him, you'll talk, you'll figure it out, and you'll start doing the move. It'll be great. Thank you in advance. But Joe did the face wash. He was getting the best of Garrett. Boom. Wes Briscoe runs in, makes that save like he does to cause the DQ. Briscoe and Bischoff were beating up Samoa Joe. Kurt Angle makes the save and announced that at lockdown, it's going to be Kurt Angle versus Wes Briscoe in a steel cage. Yay. I think that this is going to be the best match Wes Briscoe ever has. I think that I will not like the match because it's going to be the standard Kurt Angle steel cage match at lockdown that we've seen in 07, 08, 09. 2010, 2011, 2012. Kurt Angle has that same cage match, like, annually. He had it with Mr. Anderson. He had a few lethal lockdown matches. I'll give him that. But it's always the big, you know, Kurt Angle's going to do the moonsault off the top of the cage. Kurt Angle's going to lock in that ankle lock in the middle of the cage. Kurt Angle's going to kick out of your finisher, and you're going to kick out of his 17 times because you're fighting that hard. That's the Kurt Angle formula. We're just going to get it inside a steel cage. They're both probably going to bleed. All I can say is I think this was a great opportunity to put Wes Briscoe over. And I don't know that he's good enough for it. I from what I've seen from Wes Briscoe in the ring, he is not good enough for this match. He's not good enough. He's not good enough to have that Kurt Angle match. And I don't think he's good enough to get this push that he's getting. You know, I think about what he said about a Briscoe at the starting at the bottom, and it's like, yeah, but you're not good. Like, it's kind of an issue. Yeah, you've got the pedigree. You've got, you know, you are a third-generation star and all that, but not all third-generation stars are The Rock or Randy Orton. Some third-generation stars kind of blow. Let's move on. X Division title match was next. Kenny King versus Rob Van Dam for the X Division Championship. Basically, it was good. RVD did his shtick. Kenny King got a few spots in. RVD won the match with a 5-star frog splash. It's Rob Van Dam and the X Division players right now. That's just kind of what it is. I was surprised they didn't do anything to try and build up a match for RVD for lockdown. We have, what, 2 or 3 weeks until lockdown? When is lockdown? I'm going to check the TNA website right now, guys. This is one of those adventures that you only get in podcasting. TNAWrestling.com. Wait for it to redirect to ImpactWrestling.com, because even after years ago, March 10th is what we're talking about for lockdown. That's 2 weeks from Sunday, right? Open up the calendar, check the dates. Sunday is the 24th. 24th, 3rd, 10th. Yeah. So they've got two episodes of Impact left, the 28th and the 7th, to promote this show. Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have anything for Rob Van Dam in the steel cage of lockdown. But at the same time, it's TNA, and I'm really not all that surprised that they don't have anything for Rob Van Dam in the steel cage of lockdown, because they don't care about promoting the X Division. They don't care about making a star there. Hopefully we get something good for RVD. Maybe, and really, really hopefully we get the title off of RVD in the steel cage at lockdown. I know, guys, I know. But a boy can dream, can't he? A boy can dream. Video, they then had a statement from Jeff Hardy. A statement from Jeff Hardy basically saying, I'm fully healed. Aces and Eights didn't know who they were messing with. I'm healed from the attack. I'm going to be on Impact next week, and I'm going to get him back. And then he talked about Bully Ray as the number one contender. Chris Shore wasn't a fan of this, saying, it's just stupid. Hogan just made the decision in the announcement. How would they already have a video from Hardy? I looked at it another way, but this defies the entire logic that wrestling has operated under since, like, 1996. Wrestling since 1996 has said, you want to have a match, I want to have a match, let's have this match tonight. Before then, wrestling kind of said, well, you know, we're signed, I'm contractually obligated to have this match with you on this episode of Impact. So it would be, well, I have signed this match for Impact. Well, if Hogan signed this match for the pay-per-view, he then technically would have had to let Jeff Hardy know before he announced it, because Jeff Hardy would have to sign on to it. So I will give them the tiny benefit of the doubt and say that Jeff Hardy knew about it before they announced it to the live crowd or before they announced it on pay-per-view. That said, that goes, or on a TV. That said, that goes against everything that wrestling has done for years, and it is a breach of logic, but I'm trying to explain it away. Find Jeff Hardy video, let you know he's going to be back next week. TNA, way to lie to your fans in the UK. That was sweet, what you did there. That, I'm sure you've built up a whole lot of brand loyalty and love with that. Let's move on. Now we get to our main event. Aces and Eights come out. Bully Ray and Sting come out. There is no Hulk Hogan. They play his music. No Hulk Hogan. They play his music again. No Hulk Hogan. The Aces and Eights attack, and this turns into a 2-on-3 handicap match, where for the most part, Aces and Eights were dominated by Sting and Bully Ray, which was a little disappointing. But the finish came. Let's skip there. The finish came. Oh, and the Aces and Eights guys were Devon Anderson and Doc. Mr. Anderson, I don't understand why you put him in Aces and Eights at this point. I get it's just kind of weird and random, and he's wrestling in a white t-shirt now, but I don't get why he is in Aces and Eights as opposed, and if he is in Aces and Eights, I don't see why he's not the main guy in Aces and Eights. I could deal with him being the main talker in Aces and Eights a lot more than I could deal with just a random Mr. Anderson in Aces and Eights. It's kind of odd. But let's move on to the finish. Aces and Eights come down the aisle with a beat-up Hulk Hogan and holding Brooke Hogan. She was not beat up. She did not pop out of her top on this show. Nice work, Brooke. We did not get a classic Dad, my boob's out moment. Dad, my boob's out. I know. I'm never going to get over that. That quote of the year for 2013 in wrestling. Ray ran down to save him. Aces and Eights were able to overpower Sting. Doc pinned Sting. Aces and Eights beat Bully Ray and Sting in 11:24. Post-match, Ray tended to the Hogans, and Sting got beat up. Now, I'm kind of saying, well, no one's really around the Hogans anymore. Let's do this. And where were the rest? The other issue this begs is, Where are the rest of the baby faces? Where are Hernandez and Chavo and James Storm and, hell, Joseph Park? Where's the, you know, this is Hulk Hogan and really Brooke Hogan being threatened. This is a woman being threatened here. You kind of wonder what's going on that they aren't helping at all. It's odd. It's definitely an odd situation in TNA sometimes, but they put heat on the bad guys. You know, what else can you say? I thought that the show, it had nice energy from that crowd, but it suffered from a little bit of a formula booking. The Knockouts title change was okay. Like I said, I don't like it booking-wise. I don't like where it leaves that division. Yeah, TNA, I'm excited to see them go live again next week, even if it does mean being in the Impact Zone. I'm excited to see it. And I think these last shows from the Impact Zone could be really good. Hopefully the crowd, instead of turning on the product and being upset, goes, yeah, we love TNA, we're going to miss it, and really gets behind them. Yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this show. Thank you guys for listening. If you're listening on the All Access side, go to ProWrestling.net. See what we've got to offer, both on the free side and on the members side. If you are a .net member, thank you so much for your support of the site. We really appreciate you guys. And let's just be real. You're cooler than everyone else. Like, that's just kind of what it is. You guys are cooler. This is Will Pruitt signing off.